A search for treatments pervades new efforts on long COVID and ME/CFS by Court Johnson, December 2, 2024. We don't know how chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS, long COVID, fibromyalgia, and allied diseases are going to be beaten, but one thing is pretty clear. It's going to take a broad-scale effort. It'll require people, researchers, and organizations working together in ways we haven't seen before. New people, researchers, and organizations will need to enter the field. Until we see viable treatments, it's easy to miss the progress that's being made, more or less, in the background. The good news is that while we don't know how much money, how many researchers, etc., it will take to get these diseases to a tipping point that produces, as happened with HIV/AIDS, rapid progress in treatments, efforts to expand and treat these diseases are continuing, and sometimes in unlikely places. This blog is a celebration of a post-infectious field that is slowly but surely expanding. Whoa, the Schmid Initiative for Long COVID's multi-continental study. It's not often we see multi-continental anything in these diseases, but the newly formed Schmid Long COVID Initiative is going all in. Its long COVID North and South American and African study is almost certainly the most geographically widespread long COVID study and maybe the largest as well. When they say improving clinical care for people with long COVID worldwide, they're not far off. Such is the potential of philanthropy. The Schmids have been doing some serious philanthropy for quite a while. Eric Schmid was clearly in the right place at the right time. The CEO of Google from 2001 to 2011 and executive chairman of Alphabet until 2018, Schmid was ranked number 30 on the Forbes Top 400 list and number 96 on the world's billionaires list in 2021. His wife, Wendy, worked in the marketing department of Sun Microsystems and then started an interior design firm, which she ran for 16 years. Begun in 2006, the Schmid Family Foundation supported numerous environmental causes over time, but in 2023 shifted gears and started the Schmid Long COVID Initiative. The initiative's main goal is finding treatments for long COVID now. It's moving at light speed, one of the great advantages of philanthropic giving. The first part of the study, which originated from Western University in Canada, contained 6,000 participants and is already finished. The study used advanced bioinformatics and machine learning to identify 13 signaling pathways linked to long COVID symptoms, such as fatigue, brain fog, and muscle pain. Note that it's likely that similar signaling pathways will be dysregulated in ME/CFS as well. The researchers then searched every FDA-approved drug to find repurposed drugs that could impact those dysregulated signaling pathways. That search was successful. The leader of the effort, Dr. Douglas Fraser, explained, "By leveraging drugs that are already FDA-approved, we can save years of development time and billions of dollars." This isn't Fraser's first go-round with long COVID. He's published 5 long COVID studies, the latest of which targeted vascular inflammation as a key driver in the disease. He's about ready to move on with clinical trials involving 1,200 participants slated to begin in early 2025. We don't know what drugs or how many they came up with, but given how fast they've been moving, it may not be long before we hear about some drugs, perhaps ones we've never considered, that will work in long COVID. Rapamycin relief on the way? Speaking of potential drugs, rapamycin, with its ability to reset the mitochondria and improve autophagy, and its longevity component, presents a fascinating drug opportunity. Rapamycin 1. After Health Rising posted a rapamycin recovery story, Cimarron's mouse model suggested rapamycin was worth a shot, and Cimarron quickly, note the quickly, began an ME/CFS and long COVID clinical trial. After noticing that he'd seen patients benefit in the past, David Kaufman, the lead clinician in the trial, stated, quote, "The beauty of this trial has been, by virtue of it being decentralized and internet/redcap-based, that we have been able to rapidly recruit patients and acquire data that may confirm our hypothesis using biochemical biomarkers and validated survey tools," end quote. Cimarron's approach presents the possibility of cheaper, faster, and more numerous clinical trials. It recently announced that it formed a strategic partnership with AgelessRx, a leader in decentralized clinical trial execution. Cimarron is expanding the ME/CFS rapamycin trial and looking forward to future trials with AgelessRx. Quote, "We're paving the way for future studies using FDA-approved agents such as GLP-1 agonists, metformin, and innovative combination therapies," end quote. Rapamycin 2. Just a month and a half ago, PolyBio announced that it was funding an $800,000 long COVID rapamycin trial at David Petrino's new Core Clinic. You can see the link to that in the text version of the article. Thankfully, both trials are digging into the participants' physiology to understand A, which patients respond to the drug, and B, what rapamycin is doing to them. Nice diversification of efforts. Cimarron is developing an ELISA-based assay to assess mTOR-driven mitochondrial autophagy disruption they hope will help them identify which ME/CFS patients might respond to the drug. Petrino's PolyBio study, on the other hand, will be digging deep into their immune and hormonal systems to see what's happening there. Amy Prohl noted that rapamycin is increasingly being used to enhance immune functioning, including the production of a key component for our antiviral defenses, interferons. Interestingly, none of the participants in a COVID-19 rapamycin trial came down with long COVID. Plus, low-dose rapamycin may be able to help with T-cell exhaustion, a problem found in both long COVID and ME/CFS. Dr. Petrino, the clinical lead, stated, "We are hopeful that this will be a first step in validating a cheap, safe, and effective long COVID treatment." Core Post-Infectious Disease Clinical Center opens up at Mount Sinai. Speaking of PolyBio and David Petrino, it's not every day that a $10 million clinic dedicated to serving and studying long COVID, ME/CFS, post-treatment Lyme, and other post-infectious diseases opens up. Once again, philanthropists were at the fore of this. This philanthropy stuff is important. Former Solve ME President Carol Head noted how difficult it was to get philanthropists to help out ME/CFS. Vinod Khosla has helped to fill in the gap recently with ME/CFS, but long COVID has fared better. An inaugural gift from Beth and Joshua Nash and a naming gift from the Steve and Alexandra Cohen Foundation topped off a wide range of philanthropic contributions, including the PolyBio Foundation, to create the Cohen Center for Recovery from Complex Chronic Illnesses, or CORE. Patients will get the most up-to-date treatments, everything from virtual reality to HIV drugs to supplements, in an environmentally safe area, including a special air filtering system. But where the new center really shines, in my opinion, is its research efforts to compare and contrast long COVID, long Lyme disease, Lyme plus, ME/CFS, EDS, and other infection-associated complex chronic illnesses. The new center will focus on metabolic and hormonal regulation, immune function and viral activity, vascular and endothelial function, autonomic nervous system health, cognitive function, and tick-borne and vector-borne pathogen screening. This is the second time in about a year. The first was Metrodora, that a major effort to treat and study these diseases opened in the U.S., a good sign. Note that each was powered by philanthropic efforts, another good sign. Quote, "Our research is designed to identify therapeutic targets that might become the basis of experimental medicine studies in ME/CFS," end quote, Dr. Michael Peluso. PolyBio has been mostly focused on long COVID, but with Amy Prohl and Michael Van Elziker at its helm, it has deep ME/CFS roots as well. Amongst its dozens of long COVID projects are five ME/CFS ones. Its most recent project to get ME/CFS patients embedded into the long COVID LIINC effort at UCSF is welcome indeed. The $1 million donation will do several things. For one, it will allow ME/CFS infectious, immune, and genetic analysis to be contrasted with long COVID ones. The hunt continues. For two, it will make John Chia, MD, happy. Enteroviruses were the first viruses researchers back in the 1950s thought were causing myalgic encephalomyelitis. Pouring out study after enterovirus study from his small practice, Chia showed remarkable persistence but never got near the support he needed and deserved. Indeed, aside from one small effort at the CDC, I can't remember a single attempt to replicate his findings, an astonishing lapse for a research effort that captured a lot of attention but little funding. Now, enteroviruses are getting quite the second look, with their deep experience hunting for HIV and other viruses. LIINC researchers will be using cutting-edge technology to look for enteroviruses and other pathogens in ME/CFS gut tissues. With PolyBio's help and LIINC's expertise, we may finally have an answer for the 70-year enterovirus question. The brain and spine T-cell study. T-cells and T-cell exhaustion has become a big enough deal in ME/CFS that the NIH awarded one of its rare major grants, R01, to study T-cells. LIINC will go a step further and do full-body imaging to see where in the brain and spinal cord these powerful immune cells are being activated and presumably doing damage. We've known from the beginning of the pandemic that if there's one thing the ME/CFS field needs to do, it's get embedded into long COVID research efforts. The more we know about the similarities and differences between these two diseases, the better chance ME/CFS has, with its limited funding, of piggybacking on the breakthroughs in long COVID that are sure to come. The Long COVID ME/CFS Recover Initiative? On that note, some good preliminary news from #NotJustFatigue indicates that the Senate Appropriations Committee has included language in its 2025 FY25 Appropriations Report, page 145 and 146, directing the NIH to incorporate ME/CFS into the Recover Initiative. Elizabeth Ansell, the founder of #NotJustFatigue, called this potentially a, quote, monumental step forward, end quote, and is hopeful that the new directive will remain intact through the final budgeting process. This could be a very big deal. While Recover has decidedly underwhelmed thus far, it appears to be dramatically revamping its clinical trial effort to make it more creative, nimble, and effective. We should be seeing platform trials, small trials that explore long COVID pathophysiology, and more high-risk, high-gain trials. With Recover having an extra $500 million to burn, we really want ME/CFS in Recover. With all the criticism directed at it, one would expect its research effort will get the same treatment. Big initiatives often fail in the beginning, only to straighten out later. One last note. The National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, NINDS, is about to publish what appears to be its and the NIH's first standalone grant packages, not for long COVID or ME/CFS, but for post-infectious diseases. The NIH may be slowly catching up. German government plows $16 million into ME/CFS research. Quote, Germany has the best prerequisites to become one of the world's leading research locations for ME/CFS and post-infectious diseases. End quote. Professor Carmen Scheibenbogen. Perhaps more important than the money pledged, at $5 million per year, is the fact that ME/CFS research continues to expand in what was essentially a no-man's land for ME/CFS for decades. Until about 10 years ago, when Carmen Scheibenbogen showed up, I don't remember a single ME/CFS paper coming out of Germany. Now, Scheibenbogen believes Germany has the potential to become one of the world's leading research locations for ME/CFS. The German ME/CFS Research Foundation called the grants an important milestone and noted that the funding will explore genetic, cellular, and molecular pathomechanisms, will engage in modeling and identifying new predictive diagnostic or prognostic biomarkers, seek to identify subsets, and identify treatment targets. the ME/CFS Research Foundation will be piggybacking on these studies to fill them out with complementary research. A hopeful Carmen Scheibenbogen noted the translational, i.e. treatment-oriented, nature of the projects. Quote, most research projects within the new BMBF funding program are very translational in their approach. In order to gain insights to improve diagnostics and develop targeted treatments, end quote, Professor Carmen Scheibenbogen. The new funding comes on top of the $10 million funding from 2022 to 2023 and $2.3 million for the 2022 to 2025 immune mechanisms study. While more is needed, in a relatively short period, the German government is now funding about half as much ME/CFS research as the $48 billion NIH in the US is. The Dutch turnaround. The next venture comes from another unlikely source, the Netherlands. In contrast to Germany, the Netherlands has a long history of funding ME/CFS research, CBT/GET studies. Things have changed, though, and it all began with a petition in 2013 that Groep ME Den Haag submitted called Erken ME, Recognize ME, to the Dutch Parliament. Skip forward to 2021 when ZonMW, the medical research arm of the Dutch government, launched a 10-year research ME/CFS program involving 10 studies. The project involves housebound and bedridden patients, incorporates people with post-COVID and Lyme disease, and will be using blood samples from the ME/CFS Biobank of the Netherlands, ME/CFS Cohort, and Biobank Consortium. The immune effort promises to create the same easy-to-use blood tests that they develop for some autoimmune diseases for doctors. They anticipate that some of the same immune signatures will be found in ME/CFS, and if they are, the group anticipated that treatments might be made available quite quickly. ZonMW is also funding Rob Wust, whose muscle studies have already made a big splash. Wust will be using muscle biopsies and blood samples taken before and after an exercise challenge to assess what exercise does to muscle functioning, blood clots, and immune functioning. If the Dutch can turn around, anyone can turn around. Which European country is going to step up next? The first tissue bank for long COVID. It's hardly a surprise that the University of California at San Francisco, UCSF, based LIINC project would be the first, thanks to a $3 million grant from PolyBio to open a tissue bank for long COVID. The UCSF-based group has been on the cutting edge of long COVID research since the very beginning. Why a tissue bank instead of just a blood bank? Because Michael Peluso, the chief investigator of the program, believes the tissues and the viruses and bits of virus that are in them may be holding a key to long COVID. He stated, quote, based on our work so far, we believe that long COVID is a tissue-based disease, end quote. The role that pathogen-infected tissues play in ME/CFS and fibromyalgia has been a major question for decades. The fields just haven't had the resources to explore them. Both John Chia and Skip Pridgen found pathogens in the gut tissues of ME/CFS and fibromyalgia patients, respectively, and fibromyalgia muscle tissue studies have been illuminating, but they've never received a full court press. Times are changing. Rob Wust's muscle tissue study produced dramatic findings, and the Open Medicine Foundation is digging deep into the muscles of ME/CFS and long COVID patients in its studies. Plus, let's celebrate a newly funded ME/CFS muscle tissue study from an unlikely source, the NIH. Now LIINC, in its search for viral reservoirs, will dive not in the muscles but into the gut tissues, the lymph nodes, spinal fluid, and bone marrow. Instead of a duplication of efforts, we now have a nice diversity of efforts looking at different tissues in the same diseases. But what, might you ask, about the Recover Initiative's $30 million Mayo Clinic Long COVID biorepository? Who knows? Neither Recover nor the Mayo Clinic has, to my knowledge, said exactly what's in it. Time will tell, but with Recover's simplistic efforts to characterize long COVID, it's hard to imagine that it's taking lymph, gut, bone marrow, or even spinal fluid samples. Conclusion: an intense search for treatments. increased collaboration, and a search for treatments are two key themes. Check it out. We have a huge multi-continental study looking for repurposed drugs, a Dutch initiative that believes treatments could be available quite quickly, a large post-infectious multiple disease clinical research center opens, two rapamycin trials, one each in ME/CFS and long COVID are underway. ME/CFS joins with long COVID at the LIINC project and possibly the RECOVER initiative. A reinvigorated RECOVER clinical trials effort shows promise. These fields are moving in the right direction. Health Rising's donation drive update. Thanks to the over 150 people who have donated to Health Rising's donation drive. It's easy to miss things and get lost in the weeds as we face our day-to-day challenges. As this blog hopefully shows, though, the arc in the post-infectious disease space is upwards, and the focus on finding treatments sooner rather than later is gratifying. As difficult as these diseases are, it's no time to be resigned or give up hope. If this blog supports you, please support us. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. Give a one-time donation at the link between the end of the article and the beginning of the comments section.